I'm Jean Davis, librarian and adjunct professor at Brooklyn Law School. Welcome to Treaties in 20 Minutes. Part one of this podcast discusses the U.S. treaty-making process and highlights key treaty terms. Throughout my podcast, I reference a subscription database, Hein Online. You can access Hein Online on campus or in BLS housing. To use Hein Online anywhere else, you must implement the proxy instructions for access to Brooklyn Law School library databases. I also highlight free websites, such as the United Nations Treaty Collection. In my web guide, I either link to or cite to the sources that I describe in this podcast. Treaties are like contracts governed by international law. The contracting parties to a treaty are either nation-states or international organizations. The 1969 Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties is a treaty about treaty interpretation. Over 100 nation-states are parties to this treaty. The United States signed, but did not ratify it. Article 2 of the 1969 Vienna Convention describes a treaty as an international agreement concluded between states in written form and governed by international law. A similar treaty definition appears in the 1986 Vienna Convention, which applies to nation states and international organizations. Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution describes treaties as the supreme law of the land, along with the Constitution and federal statutes. Article 2 asserts that the president has the power to make treaties by and with the advice and consent of the Senate. In the 2008 case of Medellin versus Texas, a 5-person majority of the U.S. Supreme Court asserted, while treaties may comprise international commitments, they are not domestic law unless Congress has either enacted implementing statutes or the treaty itself conveys an intention that it be self-executing and is ratified on these terms. As Professor Curtis Bradley notes in a recent article, the Medellin Court implicitly rejected the argument made by the Restatement Third of Foreign Relations Law and some commentators that there should be a strong presumption in favor of treaty self-execution. At this point, I want to highlight documents generated during the U.S. treaty-making process. Representatives of the executive branch negotiate a treaty. The president, or a designated representative, signs the treaty. A Senate treaty document includes the text of the treaty as transmitted to the Senate, a message from the president, and often a Department of State report. Before 1981, a Senate treaty document had a different name, Senate Executive Document. Next, the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations reviews the treaty. This committee may propose reservations, understandings, or declarations to the treaty in a Senate executive report. For example, a 2002 Senate executive report about the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women included a reservation to Article 2, clarifying that the U.S. does not accept an obligation under the Convention to place women in all types of combat positions. It also contained an understanding, noting that the U.S. planned to carry out its obligations under the Convention in a manner consistent with our federal form of government, and a declaration asserting that the provisions of the Convention are non-self-executing. Following the Supreme Court's Medellin decision, Senate executive reports now include recommended declarations that treaties are self-executing. Sometimes a Senate executive report includes transcripts of hearings about issues pertaining to the treaty. The Senate Committee on Foreign Relations may report a treaty back to the Senate, or it may choose not to act concerning the treaty. If this committee reports a treaty back to the Senate, the Senate might give its advice and consent to the treaty. The Senate gives its advice and consent by voting to approve a resolution of advice and consent to ratification. If the President ratifies the treaty, years later, the treaty will appear in slip form in the Treaties and Other International Acts series. In addition to treaties, there are two other key U.S. foreign policy tools: sole executive agreements and congressional executive agreements. The President makes sole executive agreements pursuant to his or her own constitutional authority. For example, the President, as Commander-in-Chief, might sign an armistice agreement. In the foreign trade area, the President and Congress make congressional executive agreements. Through a series of laws, Congress has permitted the President to negotiate trade agreements for a fixed time period. Both houses of Congress need to consent to such trade agreements by passing implementing bills. For example, NAFTA and the Uruguay Round Agreements are congressional executive agreements. From a research perspective, the different processes for approving a U.S. treaty or a congressional executive agreement result in the production of different documents. To analyze the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, we could review a Senate treaty document and a related Senate executive report. To study NAFTA, however, we could consult document collections that include the text of this agreement and the legislative history of the North American Free Trade Agreement Implementation Act. Recently, our library purchased a new series titled Bilateral Free Trade Agreements. We could use this series to review legislative history of enabling acts for our country's many bilateral free trade agreements. To learn more about how the U.S. concludes international agreements, you can review the reports Senate Consideration of Treaties and Why Certain Trade Agreements Are Approved as Congressional Executive Agreements Rather Than as Treaties. Google will lead you to free sites containing these CRS reports. To better understand U.S. implementation of treaties, you can read the transcript of an August 2008 presentation on this topic by the President of the American Society of International Law, Lucy Reed. For a comparative view of treaty practice in 19 jurisdictions, including the U.S., our library offers the 2005 survey, National Treaty Law and Practice. Our library's reserve collection includes many books about treaties, such as Richard Gardner's 2008 work, Treaty Interpretation. As I mentioned, under U.S. law, there is a difference between a representative of the executive branch signing a treaty and the President ratifying the treaty after obtaining the Senate's advice and consent. In the United Nations Treaty Collection, there is a treaty handbook that defines core terms. In the treaty handbook, I recommend that you review the definitions of signature, ratification, and accession. These definitions include cites to pertinent articles of the 1969 Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties. The treaty handbook also defines declarations and reservations to treaties. My favorite starting point to find the text of countries' declarations and reservations to multilateral treaties is the UN's index, Multilateral Treaties, deposited with the Secretary General. To reach this index from the main screen of United Nations Treaty Collection, click Status of Treaties. Websites of treaty depositaries and governments are also potential sources of declarations and reservations. Article 32 of the 1969 Vienna Convention states that one can consult supplementary means of interpretation, including the preparatory work of the treaty, when the ordinary meaning of a treaty term is ambiguous or leads to an unreasonable result. The Medellin Court characterized treaty negotiating and drafting history and the post-ratification understanding of signatory nations as aids to treaty interpretation. Thus, the drafting history of a treaty, which people sometimes refer to by the French term travaux préparatoires, can be an important source. Fortunately, Jonathan Prater created a web guide to researching the drafting history of international agreements. Also, to find drafting history and other commentary, I recommend searching Our Library's Catalog, WorldCat, and Westlaw's Legal Resource Index. Combine words from the title of a treaty with the words history or travaux préparatoires or commentary. Finally, the United Nations now provides a free database of official records from 8 UN-sponsored treaty conferences. The title of this new web source is United Nations Diplomatic Conferences. This concludes part one of my podcast.